From the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and girded himself with a towel. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not know now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part in me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he is clean all over. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "You are not all clean." The words of the Holy Gospel. St. John the Evangelist begins his account of the Last Supper with the phrase that Jesus loved his own to the end. St. Thomas Aquinas thinks that there are several ways we can interpret this to the end. That he loved us toward the goal of our lives, eternal life. And eternal life, he says, is nothing other than Christ, than enjoying Christ in his divinity. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So he loved us to the end, that is, to lead us to himself, who is eternal life. But death is an end, too. He loved them to the end of his life. He loved them unto death. Not until his death, but he loved them, he moved them by his love to his death, such that his death would be the cause of salvation for them. As if to say, before now, while I have been with you, it was not necessary to show you how much I loved you, but now that I am leaving, it is necessary, so that my love and the memory of me might be impressed more deeply on your hearts. Now, the apostles, of course, still don't know what he is talking about, even though he's told them three times, "Prepare for my passion." So to start explaining it, he washes their feet. Quel surprise. For shame. This was something only a slave can do. It represents the ultimate debasement of the lowest caste of society. But he does it so they begin to understand just how deeply he has come to take care of them, to attend to all their needs. Most basically, their salvation, the cleansing of their souls. The apostles knew in that moment that this bewildering action of their master was not something that they could ever forget. But of course, he doesn't stop there. He gives them his own body and blood, as we have recounted in the other gospel passages. They still don't get that he is debasing himself in washing their feet, to try to make them understand what he's going to do tomorrow, to be executed in the manner of a most disgusting criminal, and that what he's going to do tomorrow, his execution, is also to serve them, to cleanse their souls, to bring about their salvation. So he institutes the Eucharist. "This is my body," he says, "which will be given up for you. He's explicitly presenting his upcoming death as a voluntary sacrifice. He's intending that the act of execution tomorrow would be intentionally a sacrifice. If you just had the cross without the Last Supper, it wouldn't be a sacrifice. It would just be somebody being killed. But at the Last Supper, he intends that that execution would be a sacrifice. So he gives them his body sacramentally to set the context for how he's going to offer the same body in sacrifice tomorrow. He's saying, I'm offering my forthcoming death here and now for the sins of the world. Here is my body, which will be given up for you. He's establishing tomorrow's death as sacrificial in the context of today's sacramental rite. And that rite, the eating of my body, the drinking of my blood, will work the opposite of how normal food works. Normal food is changed into my body, but the Eucharist is going to change us into Christ. It's like in a real sense, we become what we eat. We are what we eat. We become who we eat. And the bread that we become is broken. Christ breaks it before he blesses it and before he transforms it into himself. The early church saw this breaking as so significant that the first euphemism for the Eucharist was simply the breaking of the bread. And after breaking it, he transforms it with a word, "This is my body," and it becomes such. The point is that the washing of the feet is to implant in the hearts of the apostles a memory of Christ that is not just past, but that is constantly renewed. Every time they serve one another, they participate in his saving death. Every time they repeat the ritual of the breaking of bread, they make his glorified body present anew. Same with his blood. As the bread was broken, the body was racked on the cross. As the wine mixed with water flows, so his blood gushes onto the ground at Calvary. Buying back our souls is what the gushing of the blood is meant to do, sort of like you go to a pawn shop and get your gold watch back, but also to purify them, like after you play mud football and you need to be sprayed down with a hose. Redemption and purification. The visible acts of service at the Last Supper, the washing of the feet and the feeding with what he claims to be his body and blood, this sets the context for the washing. That they imprint a memory that whenever it is recalled, it is actually made present, and which we are meant to make present in every thought and every word and every deed in our lives, every moment of our lives.